Why not join Joan Lewis as she takes a look for us at some of the appointments on Pope Benedict XVI's schedule this past week? Joan, welcome back. We're in Lent, and on Wednesday the Pope marked the beginning of Lent by doing something rather special he does every year.
Yes, exactly. It is still special, even though he does it every year, and the words change of his homily and so forth. But the general audience, obviously, Ash Wednesday, always being a Wednesday, that is also the day of the general audience. And the Holy Father gave his catechesis, interrupting his catechesis on doctors of the Church. He obviously spoke of the meaning of Lent and talked about it as a journey towards Easter. And it is where, of course, we are actually accompanying our Lord. We're accompanying Jesus on his trip to Jerusalem, where, of course, he will undergo passion, death, and the resurrection. And the Pope said that our Christian life is a constant journey of conversion and renewal in the company of the Lord. And he said that the primary way we follow Christ is by the liturgy in which his person, Christ, and his saving power become present and effective in our lives. And in the Lenten liturgy, he said, we also accompany the catechumens preparing for baptism and open our hearts again to the grace of rebirth in Christ. And the Pope here and later on in the evening spoke of what he really does highlight every year, and that is that this spiritual journey is traditionally marked by the practices of fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. And he said the fathers of the Church, as a matter of fact, teach that these pious exercises are closely related. And St. Augustine called fasting and almsgiving the wings of prayer.
Since it's a beautiful expression.
It really, really was. And his Secretary Romano picked this up, I believe its title, in the newspaper yesterday. He said, they're wings of prayer because they prepare our hearts to take flight and seek the things of heaven, where Christ has prepared a place for us. Those are words that, when I read beautiful words like that by the Pope,
inspirational words.
Yes, I kind of sit back for a minute and I go, wow, isn't that lovely? And you kind of ponder it.
He has so many of them, doesn't he?
Oh, all the time. Whether it's the angels, there's always, you know, what we call in the media, especially for television, you know, that soundbite. The Pope has a lot of what television people call, and sometimes radio people, the soundbite. That one expression, that phrase that's kind of magical and memorable and really does stay with you. And that was one of them.
It helps us take flight.
Fast, yeah, exactly. That's it. Fasting and almsgiving, the wings of prayer, so we take flight and seek the things of heaven. So, again, very much of that, of those words in the General Audience Catechesis were repeated Wednesday night, as is traditional. The Pope at 5 p.m., there is a penitential procession from two churches which are very close to each other on the Aventine Hill.
We have one of the most beautiful hills in Rome.
Oh, it certainly is. We have the Aventine. On that hill, we have St. Anselmo, where, of course, we have the Benedictines. And then there's that procession to, I don't know if it's a city block or less away, of Santa Sabina. It's a church that for many years has belonged to Dominicans. And that's where the Holy Father receives his ashes, gives his homily, and there is this
church which once saw St. Dominic and St. Thomas Aquinas.
Oh, it's an extraordinary church when you go in. It is just so old. You do feel the history.
And they have a little porthole with the orange tree.
Yes.
The alleged orange tree of St. Dominic, according to legend. Anyway.
That's right. And who knows? There's probably no one there to contradict whoever said that. But, you know, it's very interesting about Ash Wednesday. I got an email yesterday from a friend who was in Rome 2 years ago, and he said, Joan, he's an American. And he said, it was so strange because we were in Rome for Ash Wednesday penitential service, and we got ashes on our head instead of our forehead. And I had made that point on a radio show yesterday, as a matter of fact, because it stood out yesterday because at Mass at the little Church of Santa Anna in the Vatican, there were two priests giving out ashes, and one put it on the forehead. I just happened to be in his line, and then the other put it on the head. And so you don't really see, if you don't have it on your forehead, you don't see that outward sign of the beginning, obviously, of our walk of penance and reconciliation. So, and then speaking of Lent, by the way, this is also a traditional season for the for the Holy Father to go on retreat, which he will do next week. And not next week, but I mean beginning
this
weekend, and then ends the next weekend. And it's very interesting because there was a wonderful article in the Osservatore Romano on the theme for the 2011 retreat. And it was an article really by this Father François-Marie Letel, who is a French discalced Carmelite, and he will be the preacher for this Lenten retreat. He is a secretary of the Pontifical Academy of Theology and a docent at the Pontifical Theological Faculty Theresianum. And the theme, I thought this was such an interesting article, and I love the title of the theme, The Light of Christ in the Heart of the Church, John Paul II and the Theology of Saints. And
very timely.
Oh, exactly.
Looking ahead to the beatification.
And that's exactly what
the
retreat master says. He said that this is a wonderful preparation in the spirit of Lenten conversion for the beatification of John Paul. And he said, you know, John Paul was inseparably a pastor, missionary, mystic, thinker, and poet. He was formed in the school of saints. This is the retreat master speaking. And so he said his retreat would focus on saints with special attention to women. He's going to highlight St. Louis de Montfort, whom John Paul loved very dearly, and Thérèse of Lisieux. They will be, as he said, the dominant voices of the retreat. He will also focus on St. Catherine of Siena and, thank you, Father, St. Joan of Arc. You know what I found interesting in this article in the Osservatore Romano? That a booklet has been published by the prefecture of the papal household. It has a detailed calendar of past retreats in the Vatican from the very first one. Now we know when it was held, 1925. And it was two Jesuits who preached that one, Fathers Giovanni Oldra and Alessio Magno. And then, of course, a Salesian preached the 2010 one. So we have the history of papal and Roman curia retreats all in under one cover.
And, of course, John Paul II, before becoming pope, preached one of the papal retreats.
Yes, he did. And I think that Ratzinger / Benedict XVI also did the same. And there's a number of retreat masters that not too long after they had preached a retreat also became cardinals. And so a lot of people are always interested to know who the retreat master is, and they kind of watch his career. Does it blossom or stay on the same page after he has given the retreat? So
Joan, we did the opposite to what we normally do this week. We started with Lent. We started with the opposite end of the week.
Well, that makes sense. We're going to highlight what we are highlighting and living here in Rome. But, you know, if we go back earlier in the week, there were two events on Sunday that kind of highlighted the Middle East situation. Very dramatic. And also the assassination in Pakistan on March 2nd of Minister Shahbaz Bhatti, who was the Minister of Minorities and a Catholic, the only Christian in the Pakistani government. But at the Angelus, the Pope spoke about the unrest and violence in the Middle East and Africa. And he did specifically mention the killing of Shahbaz Bhatti. And then, of course, the Pope obviously could not go without mentioning Libya. He said his heartfelt thoughts go there, where the clashes have caused many deaths and a growing humanitarian crisis. He assured people there of his prayers and his closeness, and he appealed for aid to the stricken populations. And, you know, later Sunday, there was a very beautiful mass celebrated by Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. It was a memorial mass for the Pakistani minister who was slain. And the cardinal recalled his own visit to Pakistan in November when Bhatti, who, again, we said he was a Catholic, accompanied him to Lahore Airport. And the cardinal said, "Before I boarded the plane for Rome, we said goodbye. Shahbaz said, 'I know I will die assassinated, but I lay down my life for Christ and for interreligious dialogue.'" So the cardinal said he already knew, he had already offered his life. And, I mean, that's what he is remembered for by everybody in Pakistan, or like the cardinal, whoever knew this man. And there are bishops now in Pakistan who are asking that he be called officially a martyr. But I'll tell you what was really, really beautiful were Cardinal Torrent's words. And I actually said this yesterday on a show, and I had people call in asking me to send them the text. The cardinal said, "To be Christian is always to make a choice between light and darkness, between faith and law, between life and death, between God revealed by Jesus and the wisdom of men, between serving and ruling. I mean, wow, if you want to think of what our life should mean, what it is as a Christian, there it is in a nutshell. And then Cardinal Torrent said Shabazz Bhatti, in his bright life, had chosen Christ as Savior, the Church as Mother, and every human being as a brother. His life was and will always be a life given, a sacrifice offered to God. And Cardinal Tauron did quote one sentence from the minister's spiritual testament, and this was all over the internet. Anybody writing about this man's assassination talked about his beautiful spiritual testament, and the cardinal's one line was, "I do not want positions of power. I just want a place at Jesus' feet." And as Cardinal Tauron said, that is where Shabazz Bhatti is now, at Jesus' feet.
It's humbling, isn't it?
Yes, exactly, exactly. Because you and I, you know, we sit here in the studio, we go out, we freely practice our faith. We don't have to turn around feeling that we've got a word target on our backs because we're Christian. And we've not been asked to make that sacrifice. So sometimes we think a sacrifice is just trying to defend our faith, talking to someone who is not of our faith or might be anti-Christian. That can be pretty hard, and that can be a sacrifice, but it's not like being called to give the final sacrifice. And this minister was ready, and unfortunately, of course, he did give his life. But anyway, we, as usual, the show, you know, comes to an end so quickly, but other events of the week, which we can highlight on our next visit, of course, is the Pope's book.
The second part.
Right, the second part of Jesus of Nazareth, from the entrance into Jerusalem to the resurrection. It was formally presented Thursday evening at 5 o'clock
at the press office,
exactly. So it's out in like 6 or 7 different languages. 1.2 million copies have already been printed in these various languages. And as the Vatican sees it, that's only scratching the surface of what's to come.
Well, thank you very much, Joan.
Well, we'll see you the next time.